Welcome one, welcome all, step right up, ladies and gentlemen, Portal Gaming Podcast, episode number 116, coming at you now. Howdy everybody, Portal Game Podcast, a podcast brought to you by a store called The Portal, located in Manchester, Connecticut. For more information, you can log on to www.timemachineportal.com, check us out on Facebook, The Portal, and on Twitter, at PortalGaming60. Howdy, everybody. I am your solo host for this episode, The Brant, bringing episode 116 to you. This one is called, You Can't Stop Change Any More Than You Can Stop the Suns from Setting. We're going to be talking about the BGG Top 200. This is something I did a little while ago. And 2 years ago now, and people really enjoyed it. And I figured, hey, it's changed a whole bunch, so I'll go through it. And I know there was a recent poll on BGG about which of these games have you played. And I believe I played 180 of the 200. So I feel pretty good about talking about the top 200 and letting people know what's there and what's good and what's not good. Although they're all good to somebody, I'm not going to do that. And we'll run through those. So that should be interesting. And I think it's kind of interesting which games I have not played. They're somewhat not a big deal for the most part. There's none that are like, oh yeah, I should have played that by now, in my mind. So, yeah, kind of interesting there. That's what we'll be doing. Portal Game Podcast is a proud member of the Dice Tower Network. And we're cruising along. I just taught some Fleet Dice at the Silk City Board Game Group with Jen, the board game librarian, and everybody really liked it. So, still cruising for my game of the year. I really think Fleet Dice is quite good, so that was enjoyable. Hey, I gotta stop and give a shout-out to my man, Evan Scussell. I know he's a listener of the show, and he was on Heavy Cardboard recently. And they did an episode on Great Western Trail. I think it was 3 hours. Now, I don't know whether Great Western Trail is something that you have heard of, that you care about, or whatever, but if you do, what a great job he did, and I just wanted to let everybody know to go listen to that episode. I've been telling everyone, you know, hey, if you're familiar with this game or you played this game, it was really well done. Great Western Trail, it's from Stronghold Games, Eggert Spiel, and it is a Alexander Pfister game. I have the game sitting in front of me. I've taken it off my shelf after listening to that episode. I'm really excited to play it again. So, good job, Evan. Thought that was excellent and wanted to make sure to mention that to everybody. That's the Heavy Cardboard Podcast. Nice. Let's see what's happening with us right now store-wise. We're getting ready to go to New York Toy Fair. So that's going to be Brian, Kathy, and I. It's an interesting venture. I try to spend most of my time with board games, but yeah, it's really eye-opening. You realize how small our hobby is in terms of gaming when you go to the Toy Fair, because it's like two rows in the bottom corner of the New York Toy Fair in the Javits Center dedicated to board games, and three levels of toys. And obviously there's a lot of representation for board games that's not there, but it's kind of like not even worth some people's time to go in that sense. You know, obviously if you're local or you've been going for a long time, older company, or just a large company, like Asmodee is upstairs, Blue Orange is upstairs. There's some various other ones that kind of have bigger booths that are in the upstairs area. Tames and Cosmos and others. So yeah, so we may bring an episode there and talk about what we saw and whatnot. It's an interesting day. Kind of Kathy and I take the train down to New York, walk over, do the whole thing, 6-8 hours with lunch, get back on the, you know, walk back, get back on the train, come back. It's a long, long day, a little exhausting. Brian, I think, does 3 days of it, maybe four, and stays there. He's got a lot of other store stuff to do, and we kind of scour. But it's cool. It's really fun. It's interesting. I'm glad that New York is that close to us, that I can just make a day trip out of it. Because it would be exhausting to do that on top of the other cons that we're doing. Getting ready to teach at ConCon. So I'm going to be down there in Stamford, Connecticut, teaching. As of now, the plan is to teach Root, Founding Fathers, Underwater Cities, and the classic card game of Bridge. And, yeah, so I'll be down there hanging out for Friday and Saturday, and then I think I'm going to kick back towards my house on Saturday night and do just 2 days at the con. But that should be exciting, and I know there's a lot of Game On people that will be there. Brian and Larry are heading to Reno to go to the Gamma Trade Show, so I know that's something that people probably have heard of. Kind of industry insider stuff. You've got retail, publishers, distributors, designers, kind of meeting up to get ready. It's kind of like the first thing of, hey, what's going to happen in 2019? What's coming out? What do we want to show off for the first time? So they're going to take a shot and go out to that and see what they can find. So I think that will be really interesting to hear from them. Hopefully on the podcast, I don't know. Maybe I'll send the recorder with them. Who knows? And see if they'll do some recording for us from there. That would actually be a really smart idea of me. And all that. Other things store-wise, I don't think too much. KeyForge is still plugging along. Thursdays have been busy. Got the demo tables out. I don't want to dwell too long. Oh, I know. We've gotten a lot of games in lately, so there's a lot of new stuff on the shelves. GMT was awesome. Just sent us 8 games, so you're going to see a lot of GMT. I know Cuba Libre, Dominant Species, I got punched. They're there. I'm trying to learn some of the other games, and then I'll get them to the store or just punch them yet. Like Twilight Struggle and other things. So those will be there. GMT's a great company. So I'm going to be reviewing Time of Crisis and Space Core. I think both of those will be really good ones to play through. I think it's Thunderworks. Yes. Keith from Thunderworks Games sent us a copy of Role Player. So we have that. We'll get that into the store. And we're getting a copy of Word Slam, the Tames and Cosmos game. So put that. There's a bunch of other stuff. I know there's other demos come in. There's stuff that's sitting there that I'm like, oh, people should play this. Like Passing Through Petra is there from Renegade. And what else? Because I just kind of reshelved that area to make it look cleaner. We've got the Devere games in, like Silk and Papua that I played and reviewed. So yeah, there's stuff there that definitely people want to check out. Go back. And, you know, if there's things you're looking for, as always, contact us through any of those means or email portalgamingpodcast@gmail.com. And we will work that out for you. So, all right, that's that. Let's go into some reviews. I think I've got 5 reviews for you today. So I'm going to start off with Goris Maximus. Goris Maximus is a trick-taking game from Inside Up Games. And so it's kind of your classic trick-taker. It takes place in like a coliseum, a gladiator arena. And probably the two biggest catches of this game, one is the art. So the title is Goris Maximus. So the cards are all like gory art. It's cartoon gore, so it's funny stuff like a tiger with a foot sticking out of his mouth with no person attached to it. And just kind of like people being attacked and blood smeared everywhere. It's a little bit of a strange choice because that just seems like a weird audience. You either have to get the kind of me, like, oh, I don't care, I just want to play the game, so there's weird art, or weird to me art, or people are like, yes, finally a game with all this gore on it. So it's kind of a strange choice in that sense. Like, you're not bringing this to family parties, you're not bringing this to people, like, I don't think it's something that Kathy would be interested in, just based on the fact that there's gory art. So then there's the gameplay. So the gameplay, you play a card, there's like 4 suits. Well, sorry, there's suits per player. So I think it's a 2-6 player game. So there's that number of suits based on number of players. I played it with 4, the time I'm thinking of specifically. And, so somebody leads a card, then you have to follow suit. If you can't, then you could play a different card or you can trump in, which is really challenging. So when I challenge, I play a card that's a different suit but the same number, so almost Uno style. And when I do that, I change the trump suit to that suit, so I would now be winning when I do that. And so you're gathering up cards, and basically the cards have positive and negative points or 0 points on them. You're trying to get them. And there's zeros of every suit, which will lose because the high card wins. And the zeros are either worth 0 or 5 points, depending on what the final suit is that goes there. So you play, you score points at the end of the round, you get a win. If you get 3 wins, you win the game. If 2 people tie, they just both get a win. So that's how the game kind of keeps progressing on that front. So it's interesting. There's so many trick-taking games. I don't know what really sets this apart, other than the art. That little piece is interesting. But I feel like there's trick takers that just do this more cleverly, so I didn't find the draw for the game. Again, I think it's going to appeal to people. People haven't played a lot of trick-taking games. It's not bad as a teach. But I feel like there's probably other trick-takers that I'm going to go after instead of Goris Maximus. But it was still fun. All right, next up, I got to play Victorian Masterminds. Larry's been talking this one up, playing it left and right. So this is a CMON game, and if I am correct, this is... No, I am correct. It's Antoine Bauza and Eric Lang teaming up to make this game. So that's an interesting mix of, okay, where is this game going with that? And I don't know that I specifically see either of those designers in the game. So what happens? So you're all villains, and you're trying to amass, you know, victory points by doing various things. So you have a player board, and your player board, you're putting together puzzle pieces to build your, like, master vehicle. It's not really a weapon, but like a vehicle. So I think I was building a submarine, somebody else was building an airship, there's like a tank, all sorts of other things like that. So you're building these structures. There are five cities, five European cities along the middle, and you're trying to steal buildings from those, basically. You want to take the buildings. You can gather scientists that you can get to work for you. And what else scores you points? You can complete objectives. So those are mainly the things. I guess you also gather knowledge that gives you points. So it's a point-scoring game. The key part to the game is the mechanism for how you play. So you have five like little gears that you shuffle face down, and they each have a picture of a henchman on them. So these are the people that work for you, and your discs are all colored towards you. So you draw one off the top of your deck, that's the one you have, and then you put it face down on one of these five slots, one of these five cities. And then the next player goes. Whenever one of those stacks gets to three, you flip the stack over, so the first person to place theirs gets to be the first person to act. You flip the stack over and activate them all top-down. When you activate them, each city has something you gain, so it tends to be a resource, which could be like sheet metal or bolts to be able to build your item, or you get firepower. You need firepower to reach a certain threshold to be able to steal buildings. And you get scientists, and there was something else, maybe draw cards or complete objective, I can't remember. So you do whatever that site has, and then you do whatever your henchmen have. So your henchmen can do things like steal a building, they can complete an objective card that are at these locations, they can negate the one in the stack below them, they can double up your bonus from what you get from the space, and I don't remember the fifth one off the top of my head. So they do all these kind of things. So obviously, you know, the whole trick of the game is, oh, don't stack on top of somebody that's going to cancel yours out, but do I need to do this now? And kind of the timing, you want people to stack on top of you so that those things trigger and you get the benefits. And the game keeps going. Oh my, I don't remember the end game trigger. Oh, somebody completes their building, or I think all of the buildings get stolen, or every time the building gets stolen, the threshold goes up for what you need for firepower. So if that gets to the top, I don't think all the buildings. I think there might be 20 buildings, and that has to get to like 12, although there's some skip spaces, so somewhere around there. That'll trigger the end of the game. Everybody gets one more turn, including that person who triggered the end game, and then you total up your points. So the game is somewhat clever in its approach of where you're putting things, but you're very limited. There are some things you can get. The scientists allow you to play a second disc in a row if you discard them. They allow you to pull a disc from your discard pile because you shuffle up like a little, it's not like a deck builder, but just a deck you shuffle through. And once you get so many books, you could just play whatever you want. So that kind of becomes something you're rushing for. I know the fifth tile was like the one where you run your engine and every player has a different thing they do. So mine was like, I gain a book and I flip it to level 2 and I can gain a scientist. You can kind of upgrade. So that was kind of interesting to use that one. I'm not sure how much staying power the game is going to have, but it's definitely fun. The buildings are neat. I mean, CMON always does a great job with their production. The pieces are chunky, so I mean, there's no complaints on the production end. It's fun. It's light. I got frustrated. Like, they kept stacking. I just kept getting blocked, or I'd go to steal a building. When that tile finally got flipped, I wasn't at the threshold, even though I was the one upping my power. So that would be frustrating. And a couple of the small things like that. But I ended up winning by a ton. So clearly, the things I was frustrated with did not affect my score in terms of all that. So it's light, it's breezy. Like I said, I don't really see their designers. I don't see the Antoine Bauza. Like, there's not like set collection and some of those other things. And just kind of a little creative. That mechanism is interesting. I guess I see a little of the theme with, like, Eric Lang, like, this Victorian mastermind kind of makes sense. So, it's definitely a fun game. I feel like it's one that if it's around right now, you want to play it. You know, we have a store demo copy. Play that. I just don't see it having a long tail. I don't know. I don't know how they would expand the game. But it's a great one for, like, you show up at a game night and people have this. Sit down, play it. You'll have a blast. It is not long. I think it's 30 minutes no matter the player count. It adjusts some things. I know in two-player you only have to stack to two discs to be able to trigger each spot, so that changes. I don't know where it would change from there with three or whatever, but you know, it's got a good piece there. So generally, very interesting. All right, next up I have Robin Hood and the Merry Men. So this is a game that released from Kickstarter, and it's now in retail. And it's based on Robin Hood. And this game is interesting. Not interesting bad, interesting good. So it definitely encapsulates the theme of Robin Hood. There are a lot of things you can do, and it covers all the phases. But it's still, like, at its heart, very Euro-y. This would definitely be a Euro trash game. It definitely crosses both bounds. The theme is very strong, which I think really worked for me in the game. I really enjoyed the theme. But because of the theme, there's so many mechanisms, and none of them are complex. By no means is this a complex game. I mean, it's medium light to me, but there's just a lot that you have to think about, I guess, or just decide or know what it does to know what your options are. So the game comes in three modes. There's a solo mode, there's a semi-co-op mode, and there's a full co-op mode. So I played the solo mode. I have not played any other, so it is a first impression, I suppose. But I felt pretty good about talking about the game, because sometimes when I only play once, I don't do that. I try to make sure I've talked about it more, and I know there's all the ins and outs of how that works. But anyway, so in Robin Hood and the Merry Men, you have basically in the solo mode, there are, like, three phases. So there's your Merry Men phase, where it's basically worker placement. You're placing to all these different, like, little villages and places on the board to gather resources. And then there's, like, the villain phase, which I guess is part of the hero phase in there, but it really feels separate, where all the villains act and try to mess up your plans and gain stuff. And then there's the hero phase, where you use your heroes to go out and do, like, even more heroic acts and things like that. So, kind of break this down. So, in the Merry Men phase, you have cards, and you have just kind of generic meeples that represent your Merry Men. So, like Underwater Cities, you play a meeple to a spot, and you play a card. Now, you actually have options there. You can play the card for doing the card's effect, and then you kind of get, like, a single resource from the space where you play it. Or you can not get the card's effect, kind of place it off to the side, but save it, and collect from kind of the center where you're safe. And so these are kind of your options each turn. Like, do you want to, you know, risk your Merry Men and use its action? Yada, yada, yada. So you kind of have that decision to make, and you're just kind of going around gathering all these resources. And you're trying to do things like set up barricades so the carriages can't get into the castle. And you're trying to collect weapon dice so you can use them to fight off later in the hero phase. And you're trying to set up traps to catch the guards as they come out. Then during the villain phase, you've got Prince John, you've got the Sheriff of Nottingham, and you've got, I don't remember the other one, but he basically controls the carriages and the roads. And they come out and basically mess up your plan, and they steal coins from you from the roads. And if the roads ever lose all their coins, then you lose the game, and they take down the barricades, and the sheriff will add more guards to that section, and if your Merry Men are there, they'll get captured, and you have to give up a resource. And then the hero phase, you get to do two actions. So you can go to two different locations and do all sorts of things. You can rescue your Merry Men, you can fight off the guards that get added to these locations, because you don't want the guards to fill to a certain spot. And just trying to remember the other things that you can do with your heroes. And then there's kind of the middle section where if your Merry Men get captured, you can go to prison to free them. You can go right into the town center to steal directly from Prince John. And you can go be in an archery competition to win money. You're also trying to send envoys out to Prince Nope, King Richard. Got it. You're sending envoys out to King Richard to complete tasks. You'll keep those there permanently because they went off to the Crusades, and you'll gain bonus points into the game. So where this is so hybrid is when you then attack, you're rolling all these dice, and there's random, like, you can't predict what's going to happen, so you're trying to prevent against certain things happening. But it's Euro because you're trying to score all these points. So by the time the game ends, you just get a variety of points, very Steffenfeld-like in terms of point salad. So you're scoring points for every barricade, every trap you put out, for those envoys you sent, and there's a little reputation track, and as you go up that reputation track, you increase your points. So it's got that like balance of, I want to put out traps, I want to put out barricades, I want to do envoys, I want to move up the reputation track. And then just the immediate, like, I need to keep my merry men from being in jail, I need to capture guards, all sorts of things like this. And yeah, there's a little bit like too much, like any of those actions are very simple, but trying to remember what they all are and why am I doing this one and why would I do that and what's going to happen here, and then trying to predict like what's safest for me to do. At the end game, you also get like set collection for those cards that you didn't use. So you're trying to set those aside and use cards for their actions effectively. So it's good because there's a lot of think, and what you're doing, it kind of makes sense. Like, okay, the carriages are going to move up, so I have to set up blockades, and I have to go attack the carriages to take the money. Then I can go, oh yeah, extra guards as they fill in, they go to town, so you're trying to go help out them. There's just a lot going on here, and it was kind of a good and a bad. Like I said, overall, really good. Theme, really good. Mechanisms, really good. But there's a lot, and I'm not sure how, like, the teach would go. I really want to try this. I feel like semi-co-op is not what I want to do at all with this game. I have to check on the full co-op being, like, points, because it was interesting to score all the points and see if there's, like, a threshold you have to meet, which is what you had to do in solo mode, which seemed hard, but in the end I was able to pull it off. So, yeah, I really like it. I want to bring it around and play it. I try that semi-co-op. It feels a little tacked on, like, the like Legendary, you know, Marvel Legendary has like the, hey, somebody wins in the end, and that just feels funny to me. Like, there's enough going on here for us to just try to win. You know, I guess originally Marvel Legendary wasn't super hard to win if everybody's doing that, so that's why there was the points. But it would be hard to like explain and then have people do things. Like, I don't mind it being semi-co-op, I think, if the semi-co-op is just like, not a major part of the game. Like, oh, I could make us all lose. Anyway, I shouldn't talk about that part because I didn't play it, so that's not really fair in a review. But yeah, overall, really positive, really liked Robin Hood, definitely want to play it again. I could see this being up there for people. I actually have played the Kickstarter edition, so the components are out to lunch, gold coins, screen-printed meeples with all the heroes, all that stuff. I mean, it's amazing. So it'll be interesting to see what happens this one towards the end of the year, if this sticks around and how people latch onto it and whether that semi-co-op or that full co-op become kind of like the mode to play. But I could see room for great expansion with more cards and other things, although I don't know, you know, if it needs more going on. Again, everything's really simple. I don't know. It's like I almost don't want to move on from this game. I want to keep talking about it. But everything's really simple, but there's a lot, so that teach will be interesting in how people balance things out. But really positive, Robin Hood and the Merry Men. All right, next up, I got to play Blackout Hong Kong. Brian and I alluded this in the next one, so I think I've played three times solo, and I've now played it multiplayer, a three-player game. This is the new game from Eggertspiel and Alexander Pfister. I love Alexander Pfister. I alluded to Great Western Trail. His best game is Mombasa. Isle of Skye is very good. Love Port Royal. Love Oh My Good. So, I mean, just a great designer, Alexander Pfister. So I was really excited to get this game. So first and foremost, the thing you're going to hear, you've probably heard it prior if you've looked into this game, is it's ugly. And there's no doubt. The game is ugly. The board is black. There is a blackout in Hong Kong, so it has Hong Kong, and it's very dark, and they made some strange graphical decisions. So if you are somebody where aesthetic is a must, I think this game might just push its way out for you because it's cubes, it's dark colors on dark background, and whatnot. So this game really has to fly by its mechanisms. Even more so, I think Great Western Trail brought people in for the theme, even though people would argue the theme is there and not there. That's an argument for another day. Blackout Hong Kong is going to ride on the mechanisms. Mombasa, even though it tried to tell people this is not, we're not trying to do the negative things that colonization did to Africa, it very specifically tells you it's not doing that. That's how people felt, and that theme pushed people away. So what are you doing in Blackout Hong Kong? So you're trying to score points over various rounds. So the main idea is there is a deck of objectives, and that deck gets set based on the number of players or the scenario you're playing. The scenarios in the campaign is very, very minor. So I'm just playing through that solo, because that seems like the best way to just kind of adjust things, but they're small adjustments. So you're trying to complete these objectives every round. How do you do that? Well, there's 8 phases, so I think I can run you through them. So the first thing you get to do is you get to lay out 3 cards from your hand. So basically, objectives become cards in your hand. So you have starting cards in your hand, which are now kind of the workers you have to go out and do things. But they're really just cubes. So or cards that get cubes. So you play these cards down to your tableau. You get to play 3 initially. You can unlock a 4 spot. Then, before that you roll 3 dice, which determine, like, oh, red is going to give me this resource this turn, and blue's this resource, and they can change. Play the 3 cards, and everybody goes around activating their cards. You can get Hong Kong dollars. You can get cubes on this rondelle, though it's not really a rondelle. It's just a holding cell for where your pieces are. And various things like that. You can get people back from the hospital that get injured. Then everybody gets to complete their objective, so you trade those resources. Oh, if we want to complete this objective, we need to get 2 medical and 2 water. We get that out to people. We get the card back. Generally what happens is you get to put a token on the board, and the board is kind of all connected. Oh, this site is connected to these 3 others, etc., etc. And you're trying to, like, trace a region. If you can outline a region with your cubes, that'll score. You'll get upgrades, etc. Then you can scout. This is an interesting part of the game. It makes sense thematically. Mechanically, it's a little weird. There's 3 face-down tokens in every region. If you have a cube adjacent to a region, which generally a cube is adjacent to like 3 regions, you can look at those and you can spend cards from your hand. Oh, let me send these workers that I didn't use out. And I can go find that item. Oh, I find gas or I find money or whatever it is. I get that and then I shuffle the cards I used and one gets injured in doing that process. Because they're going out into like kind of dangerous territory where there's no power and things are kind of crazy. So they get set aside. You remove one. Then the next phase is you get to purchase more objective cards. So you can hold 3. And you can purchase them. And basically, the more there are, the more expensive they are. So if there's 3 in a row, it costs 4 coins. 2 is 3 and 1 costs 2 coins. And then you reset. So that's how you're running through the deck as people purchase those there. There's a cleanup phase. Where, I feel like I missed one. There's a cleanup phase where everybody, discards food and water and gets money for those, so they're only temporary. Secure the districts where you score points for the regions you've outlined. You can also then take a building off your board and put on a board, and you now have an upgrade. And then the final phase is cleanup. So if you have 0 to 4 cards in your hand, you get to take a whole column of cards. So a bunch of cards you played back into your hand. So that's kind of your efficiency, like keep it at that level. You can also upgrade that so it becomes 0 to 6 later in the game in terms of that. And then you get any of those abilities that you unlocked as well as any objectives that gave you abilities. There's a lot going on. Like, that was the basic outline of a turn. So yes, that card mechanism feels similar to Mombasa. I don't know how many people I'm talking to that have played Mombasa, another heavy Euro, but it's a very good one. If you like Euro games, you should definitely play it. I think, theme aside. So that is the same, but the way you're using those cards and what you're trying to do is very different. You're not really competing with other people over, like, oh, let me get these resources. You're just getting the resources. And then sometimes you want to get different types of cards in a stack and leave them, because there are objectives that say you must have all these cards. So you need 3, 4, 5 cards in a stack, so you're trying to kind of be inefficient to score those things. I like that. All in all, it's a big puzzle, and you're not really interacting with people. Like I said, you put cubes on locations, but 2 people can put cubes on locations, so you're not really fighting over that. And we found a lot of time, even though it said, oh, in player order, we could do things simultaneously and sped up the game. The teach was great. I taught it to Brian in like 10 to 12 minutes, and then somebody else sat down to play, and I taught them in 5, and they were good to go. We played in under 2 hours with the teach. That felt great. And I really, really like the game. You know, how will it compare to the other two? I don't know that it'll be as good as them in the long run. It does have solo play, which is great. So I will do that. I've been solo playing a lot more than I was last year. But I really liked the game. I mean, the other two are so good. Great Western Trail and Mombasa. You just can't count on every game being that good. But it definitely wasn't bad. Now, if you don't like puzzles, solving puzzles and getting resources, and you must have heavy interaction between players, this game just isn't going to work for you. It's just not that. If you need aesthetic, it's not going to work for you. So it's really relying on that mechanism, that puzzle, kind of that. I mean, it's not a bag builder, but just kind of in the way you're playing those cards, it reminds me of Orleans. You're not really competing with people. There's a couple things to compete over. There's some objectives and who gets this first. But all in all, you're just trying to score those points towards the end of the game. But I really like it. I'm going to keep playing it. You know, it's a contender for the top 10 of the year for me, but there's a lot of way to go, and I can see this getting pushed out by the end of the year in terms of that. But overall, love Blackout Hong Kong. Gonna take it. Gonna keep teaching it places to people who are looking for that style game. Really good. Last one I want to throw in is I finally picked up a copy of One Deck Dungeon Forest of Shadows. This is from Asmodee Games. I've raved about One Deck Dungeon on here before, but again, probably 2 years back. Man, I love One Deck Dungeon. This is my go-to solo game. It's so good. So I'm not going to spend too long on it, but basically it's a dice rolling. You roll a bucket of dice for your abilities, and then you manipulate the dice. So it's all about mitigating your dice and having abilities. You get items that give you more dice. You get abilities that change the dice, discard dice, get different dice. And then the really clever mechanism is you can discard any two dice to gain like a wild die. So you have strength die, agility dice, and magic dice, and you're trying to like complete, like basically cover objectives on cards. So you're either facing obstacles or monsters, and you're trying to cover the card. But the part that's so clever in the game is all the way you can mitigate the dice, which is really fun, try to figure that out. And no matter what, you always defeat a monster or an obstacle. It's just, did you take wounds? Did you spend time? And in this one, did you get poison? And poison is like wounds that linger. Every time you travel, you have to check to see if that poison leaves your system or hurts you. And it's really nice. It has like a little mini campaign where you have a campaign sheet and you stick with the same character and you level up and get special abilities and you can kind of increase how it is. This one seems easier than the original one. So if you ever played the original one, didn't own a copy, but got frustrated with the difficulty to kind of get started, this one has it. It also has the campaign in there, and the campaign actually suggests ways to start like with a boost. You're actually supposed to, and like the hard mode is kind of the regular. So yeah, the game can be hard if you kind of start with nothing, and can be a little bit more random at first as to whether you'll like kind of beat monsters and not be behind the eight ball. But it's really, really good. This is one of my favorite games of all time, and buying this copy and playing this and teaching it again with a couple people, and then just playing on my own, just boom, 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 knocking out games. It's surprisingly not short. Like, I think it says 30 minutes, and like a fast game for me is 45 minutes. So that's something to know. It's not like an airport or a restaurant game to me. Like, there's a lot of thinking and a lot going on here, but it's great for like sitting watching a movie and playing this. I like doing that. If that's something we're doing, because I'm not good at just watching movies at 9 o'clock at night, I just fall asleep. But this keeps me kind of engaged with both. So that is One Deck Dungeon. All right, that's a lot of talking about games. So now I'm going to talk about more games. So I am going to go through the BGG top 200, but that's a lie. I'm going to go 200 to 101. I believe, like I said, that there were 20 games I hadn't played. So I will go through and mention those as I'm here. And I also noticed it looks like it changed in the last like 3 days since I was looking at that. So there might be some changes there. But I'll mostly mention, like, it's mostly some edition of a game that I didn't play. So I've played the game, but I haven't played this edition. So one that I'll mention that's in the top 10, or I think it might be 11. Actually, I played all the top 10. How about that? Is Twilight Imperium 4. So I have not played Twilight Imperium 4. I have played Twilight Imperium 3 like 10, 12, 15 times. So I don't feel like that's a major, like, strike or blemish on my game playing record or whatever. I mean, nobody should feel like they played them all. Even the fact that I played all the top 10 is cool. But to me, it's like, hey, I'm going to get to playing that at some point, and I'm excited to play it. But I'm not sitting here going, like, how have I not played TI4? What is wrong with me? Like, I've played TI3. It's not majorly different. It's just better. And so there's a lot of games like that in my mind. But there are some interesting games that I haven't played. Here we go. So I'm going to try to give you real fast impressions on each game in the top 200. And then at some point I'll go 100 to 1. I don't know. That'll be next episode. Because I won't have Brian or Kathy on. All right. Letters from Whitechapel. I played this once, I believe. And it's the kind of game where it's like it's a hidden movement game. And it's kind of like the classic hidden movement game. And it's one of those games where everybody goes, oh my gosh, he could have gone here, here, here. Like, we can't figure out all the possibilities. And then we sat for hours and tried to figure out all the possibilities. And it was like a 3.5 hour game. And it was rough. But I know people love deduction games. There's a lot of, hidden movement games. But there's a lot I would rather play. Hunt for the Ring being probably the number one. Or Spectre Ops instead. Burgle Brothers is a thieving, like a co-op thief game. It's interesting puzzle. I know people really like this. I know there's an app. I know this is like a big solo gamers game. I played it once, and it was fun, but it was not a top 200 game to me. Dungeon Lords, I really, really like, and nobody else likes it. I like it better than Dungeon Pets. This is a Vlada Shivadal game from CGE, and I love Dungeon Lords. I love you are in charge of the dungeon, but it is a huge puzzle. And it's got huge take that. Like, there's like a paladin that can come out, and he'll just mess up your dungeon, and you do not want to get the paladin. So you want to make sure you're drafting first, and that's really important. And this is like the classic terrible dummies. If you're playing with 2 and 3 players, the dummies are super overwhelming. You have to do a lot of things with dummies, and so it shows its age in that. So I imagine this game is going to be gone soon for a lot of people, but I still really like it. And thought it was fun, but those dummies are brutal. Teotihuacan, City of Gods, great game in my top 10 this year. That game's just going to cruise up. It's going to be in the top 100 very soon. But yeah, it's really good there. The Resistance, great game. Love this social deduction game. Had so many classic games of The Resistance. Probably played it 40, 50 times by now. Had a group that just loved it and wanted to play it all the time. And it's really good. I think I like Resistance Avalon better, which I believe it's probably higher in the list. But it's your classic social deduction game, and it's great. Onitama never really worked for me. I really liked it. I played it at like Gen Con, and we had a copy, and I played it with a bunch of different people. But a lot of people were just like, ah, it's like chess, and I don't want to go there. But I know for some people, like, it's their go-to two-player game. Everdell, I got a chance to play at Gen Con. Really pretty interesting game. People are loving and adoring this game right now. I imagine it's going to move up the list. It felt kind of typical to me, but I think just the tree and the artwork and the animals, like, really drew people in, so I don't blame people for that. I found, like, I think your tableau limits to, like, 15 cards. Like, you needed certain cards to complete things, but they might never come out. But I did like the, like, oh, you could be in fall, but I've moved on to winter, or however it works. I liked that mechanism. Where people are in different phases. So it was a clever game. I would definitely play it again. I wasn't gaga, but I see where it is, and there's definitely a lot of interesting things. So it definitely gets the clever piece. The fun piece wasn't quite there for me. Chronicles of Crime, reviewed this not long ago. Talked about this on Every Night is Game Night with Jason Perez over there. It's a really cool game, really cool mechanisms. I am just not nearly as gaga as other people. I totally get the draw. To me, it was just kind of you click things, and then eventually you have to think about the puzzle, and you don't really get all the pieces, and you're just making a wild accusation and hoping you win, kind of like trying to beat somebody in Clue before they're about to win. But people love it. I think it's great for a night of just really casual gaming, so I think that's awesome. Antiquity, this is a splatter game. I need to go way faster. Splatter game, got a chance to play this with Brian. I know the draw, first off, this is just like kind of totally not appeal to a lot of people. Talk about no aesthetic. This game has no aesthetic. Little tiny chits, a lot of people play this with tweezers, and you stack them up, but it's a Civ game that tries to kill you. So it's just polluting everywhere. The really interesting part, though, is somewhere through the game, your win condition. I'm going to score VPs or win by this condition, and the other players can't or something. You, like, draft a cathedral to put in your city. It's one I want to play again because people love it so much. But that whole, like, ooh, I'm going to pick my win condition throughout the game, I really like, or I pick a special power. Heart of Crown is the one that I would do for that, which is a deck builder. Totally different style games. But I want to play Antiquity again. King Domino, great game, great family game. I don't want to play it non-family, but it's really, really good. One Spiel de Jar, I know why. Sid Meier's Civilization, love this game. Kathy and I did a comparison of this in Rune Wars. We thought this was better. We want to play this again. I imagine if I said to Kathy, hey, let's play this on such and such a date, she'd be like, I'm in. It's a great game. I don't want to play it with more than two, generally. I'll teach it or something, but there's a game they just played this past week that went on to like 2 a.m., started at like 6 and went to 2 a.m. That's too much for me for that game. But two-player, I'll play it anytime. Maybe three people know the game. Indonesia is my first blemish. I have not played Indonesia, another splatter-spelling game. Almost had a chance to play this with Alex from Dukes of Dice and a few other people, and it didn't work out at Dice Tower Con, so I did not. Battle Line, awesome two-player guard game. Another one, if I said to Kathy, hey, want to play Battle Line later tonight? I'm in. She loves that game. Set Collection, Reiner Nizia, awesome game. Next, blemish. Here I Stand. Here I Stand is a huge game about the Reformation. So this was really popular last year, or people were at least talking it up. And I think it's like 6 to 8 hours. I haven't had a chance to play it. Sounds great. Let's play it. Endeavor, Age of Sail. Again, I haven't played the original edition, haven't played the new edition. This is on there moving up. That's interesting to me. I've heard good things, but not great things, so it's interesting that it's there. Kanban Driver's Edition. This is just the same as Kanban. Kanban was not one of my favorite Vital Lacerdas. I know CO2 is getting a second edition. This got a new edition. Neither one really clicked for me. I see the appeal. I think Kanban, another play would be fine with me. But there's so many Vital Lacerda games that I like better. Imperial 2030, I have not played. This is a Matt Gertz game. I'm Concordia all the way. Navigador, love those ones. So I'd be down to play it, but I think there's like an economic engine to it. Haven't played it. That's three, four? Four I haven't played. Fury of Dracula, played it. Really good. Hidden Movement. If you like theme, it's there. It's got a couple mechanisms that I think are wonky. The combat is kind of interesting, but not amazing. But again, Hidden Movement, really good game. Samurai, played this a long time ago. Haven't played it in a long time. Reiner Nizia game, really interesting choices. Like that's what he does. Reiner Nizia just gives you these choices that you can't make. They're impossible. Good luck. See if you can figure out what you would want to do. And this one definitely encapsulates that. Mysterium, this is a top game in our house. This game gets played all the time. All the time. Zephyr's now caught on to it. It's great. It's amazing. It's a top game. Good job, Mysterium. Above and Below, I would play Near and Far. This is a Ryan Lockett game, but this one is beloved as well. Reading Stories, I just didn't find the connection between the two. I'd rather play Near and Far, but Above and Below is great. And if it was something Zephyr was into, I would definitely play Above and Below with her instead of Near and Far. But really, really good game, Ryan Lockett's awesome. Navigador, just mentioned this one, another Matt Gertz game. It's a classic. It seems so basic now. I've gone back to play it, and it's like almost a light game. But the Rondell mechanism is delicious and totally worth your play. If you haven't played it, let me know. Let's play it. Secret Hitler, I haven't played. That's a blemish. I want to play it. I'd love to play. Gary has Secret. Well, let's see. Harrison made Secret Santa. Gary has Secret Sith and Secret Voldemort or something. And I would play those, I think. I don't know that I'm against the theme of this game, but I'd prefer to play those. Those sound more interesting to me. Dixit. This is Dixit Odyssey. I've played Dixit 1,000 times. It's a great game. I can get frustrated sometimes with the clues people give, and I don't figure it out. But it's a really, 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 really fun party game, and I've played it at like my improv group to get them to think about, hey, how would you describe things if you had to do it differently, given other conditions and situations? Alien Frontiers. I haven't played it in a while. I would totally play Alien Frontiers again. It's got a lot of interesting choices. It's got great like level-up mechanisms. Area control is in there, but I think it's light enough it wouldn't drive me insane. But really solid game. It was like one of the first popular Kickstarters. Mage Wars Arena. I love dueling wizard games. I want to play them all, but I just can't. And so this is one that I love, but it's gone by the wayside. And I haven't been able to play it. Was this Mage Wars? Oh, Academy. This is Arena. Yeah, this one's just so big. I don't know who's going to play this with me. I think this is actually the better game, but Academy is so much shorter and easier to get to the table. But that mechanism of you get to pick your cards and play whatever you want. However, I will tell you, I will play Codex every single time over this game. Codex is way better at pick your cards and do what you want. It's a deck builder as well. So that game's kind of gone by the wayside, but I would play that anytime somebody was excited for it. Exit the game, The Abandoned Cabin. I'll just take this as the Exit series, which is the best escape room series. It is so good. As soon as they come out, we play them all voraciously, and enough said. 1830. I have not played 1830. This is an 18XX game. I've played 1846 and maybe something else. And I want to play 1830, and I think there's a new edition. So let's play. Seasons. Seasons is a great card game. You got to get everybody in, or you got to do, like, the draft in the beginning is so tough. Like, what do I want to draft? I don't know. Just draft stuff. But the dice mechanism is really good. And talking about Seasons makes me want to play Seasons again. So I don't know if it's a top, top game for me, but I want to play. Space Alert is here, another Vladislav Chvátal game. I like Space Alert a lot, but it is just a huge... It's like one of these real-time pre-plan... Oh my gosh, it's just a lot. I think I'm done with it, but it is cool. Dead of Winter, The Long Night. Played Dead of Winter 1,000 times. No, played Dead of Winter 5 times. Have not played The Long Night. Zaya Legends of Adrift System. This is just where I'm kind of out. It's too big, it's too much, it's too Ameritrashy. I don't like it. Hero Realms is awesome, especially you do the story mode. I like Hero Realms better than Star Realms. Use the character packs. Awesome, awesome, awesome. Kind of falls into that dueling Wizards card game. Really good. Rune Wars was like one of my grail games I wanted to get so bad. When I just started working at the Portal, I was able to get a copy, play it. I really liked it. Played it recently with Kathy. I'm done. I'm playing Civilization every time. Bora Bora. Sorry, Bora Bora is a Stefan Feld game. Really good, really thinky. Probably one of his heavier games. And you just cannot do everything you want to do. I think there's probably some best strategies if you play it 97 times, but I really like it. 1960, The Making of a President. I would play Twilight Struggle instead, but this has got a great theme of Nixon and Kennedy battling it out. I've played it, but I haven't had a full play, and I tried to play with Kathy one time, and she didn't like it, so we quit. But it's a really good game, but I would just play Twilight Struggle. Summoner Wars, yeah, Summoner Wars I think I'm done with. I think it's one of those dueling games. I really like it. I would play like an app or somebody was excited, but it's just not my favorite of all those, but I get where people like it, and it's got a lot of variety. Battle Lore is really, really good. All these Command and Colors games are really good. This is the second edition. It was so clever when they had you set up your half of the map, and they set up their half, and they give you all these things. Again, if I had somebody really into the game, I'd be playing it regularly, but I don't, so I don't play it a lot, but it's very, very good. Deception Murder in Hong Kong doesn't work for us. We play Mysterium. Everybody else likes Deception Murder in Hong Kong better. Isle of Skye is amazing. Alexander Pfister game. Really, really fun. It's like this auction where if people don't buy stuff from you, then you have to buy it at that price. Really clever mechanism. Hannibal, Rome vs. Carthage. I have it. I have not set it up. It's a block war game. I'd love to play block war games. They sound great. I don't care if they're just blocks and war games. I want to play it. Power Grid Deluxe. So I've played Power Grid, but not Deluxe. So I think Power Grid is further up. Haven't played Deluxe. You can say I haven't played it. I think I have. It's really good. Power Grid is great. You should play it, but people won't get the auctioning mechanism if they haven't played auctioning, and it'll frustrate the crap out of them. Oh my gosh, there's so much to talk about. Architects of the West Kingdom. Played it recently. Brian and I don't like it. Everybody else loves it. Glory to Rome, one of the greatest games of all time. Glory to Rome! It is really, really good. Multi-use cards. Crazy combos. Stop me if you can. It is so divisive. People love the game or hate the game. Love the game. Age of Empires 3, Age of Discovery, a very early worker placement game. Great theme. I'm kind of done playing it. Lewis and Clark was really fun until Larry broke the game and went backwards and slingshot forward and beat us. But it's an interesting game. It's probably better at 2 than 4. I think you can even play 5. But they've now stopped that. You can only back up so far. I'd play Lewis and Clark again. That sounds like fun. Star Realms Colony Wars. Again, I played Star Realms like 100 times on the app, and I've never played Colony Wars. So, kind of a blemish. Dungeon Pets. It never clicks for me. I went back, Kathy and I played it like a year and a half ago. It just didn't click for us. I like Dungeon Lords better. A lot of Chvátal. Imperial, haven't played it. Haven't played Imperial 2030, kind of same idea. Sushi Go Party's amazing, although I would gift Sushi Go to people, because Party requires setup, and that'll make people out. Tricarion, Legends of Illusion, I have a copy that I'm going to play. I've played it before. It's really good thematically, it's amazing, and it's a pretty thinky Euro, so I'm going to play it again. You'll probably hear about it soon. Yinch, never played Yinch, never played any in the whole Gipt series. I guess I got to try Yinch. Magic the Gathering, yeah, I've played it. It's amazing. You're going to know if you want to play Magic or not, so we'll leave it at that. Play Keyforge too, they're both fun. This War of Mine, I didn't find it amazing, but people have told me how much they like it. It's really hard, it's really depressing. If you want to play a hard, depressing game, you're going to love This War of Mine. I kind of liked it. Imperial Settlers, whew, this was just tough. The solo game is really fun. The four-player game is way too long, so it's probably best at solo and two-player. But really good, and Ignacy's releasing a whole bunch more stuff coming soon. Too Many Bones is really good. Impossible to teach with four. Again, play it with one or two, unless everybody's played it before, then I think four would be fun. Lots of characters. It's a way better game than sometimes I let on to. I feel like it's one of those games I'm like, eh, and then when I play it, it's really fun. So good job. There. Carcassonne, classic tile laying game, really fun, but you want to have everybody draw two tiles, pick one, and be ready to play theirs. Makes it more fun. House rule. Cyclades, okay, the old Cyclades Kemet battle. I always just go back and forth based on which one I've played most recently. I want to play Kemet again now. Cyclades is higher on my list, but it's really good. Galaxy Trucker I still really like, but it is crazy. Blow yourself up. I actually play that on the app. Sekigahara is one of the GMT games they sent to me, so you'll hear about that soon. I hope I get this one to the table. This one might be a little bit tougher. Block War game, two-player. We'll see. Veenhost. Veenhost was the game that Kathy and I played both sides of the new edition and just couldn't find it at two-player, but people tell me, yeah, two-player's not where you want to be at, so gotta do that. Ra is one of the best auction games of all time. There's, like, chanting and cheering at the table. It's really, really good. Shogun. I have not played Shogun. Heavy Cardboard just played this recently. I would like to play Shogun. That would be fun to play. It's like a war game with a cube tower. Really interesting. Targi is an amazing, amazing, amazing two-player game. Play it. New edition came out last year. You want to play this game. It's so good. Charterstone. Still in the middle of Charterstone. The friends we were playing with it went from one to three kids. So, yeah, that's on hiatus right now. Ticket to Ride. Yeah. It's a good game. It's really good. Play this game. Teach it to people. Phenomenal. Viticulture. Great game about wine making. Put Stonemaier on the map. It's awesome. Again, house rule. Whenever you draw cards, draw two, keep one. Way better. Legendary Marvel. Still love it. The theme is great, even though, like, I'm just drawing Marvel characters. I'm so excited about that. Awesome deck building game. Really fun. I want to play, like, the one versus many where somebody's villain. I've never done that. Clank in Space is probably the better version of Clank, but the longer version, so you got to decide. But I really like Clank in Space. That is from Renegade Games. It's a deck builder, dungeon crawl, really great idea. That game's just going to go on and on and on forever, and that's good. Princes of Florence I played so long ago. I know there's, like, auctioning, and I can't even remember. But it was really, really popular back in, like, the Tigris and Euphrates, Puerto Rico, early 2000s. And it's a fun game. I've never played Go, so I don't know. That is 130. 129 is Zombicide Black Plague. Yeah, you know, I had fun with this, and Zephyr played this with me when we had the store copy, and we were really enjoying it. And I would go back and play Zombicide Black Plague, although it is just Ameritrash, roll dice, but it's a good form of that. Steam. I've never played Steam. I just realized that. I might have missed that one. Actually, did I play the app of Steam? Anyway. I like Age of Steam better and Railways of the World, so this one seems to lie in the middle. Who knows? Teachu, I just dug my copy of Teachu out to play. I think I learned Teachu and might have played, like, two-player to learn it, but I've never actually played it. But it's a ladder-climbing game. Splendor's amazing. I would still play it. La Granja is next. La Granja's awesome. It has the best dice drafting mechanism I've ever seen. Everybody drafts dice. Tough choices. The die left over. Y'all get to keep. Y'all? Which is in Fleet the Dice Game now, so that's really good. Sagrada's fun. I think I liked Azul better, or Role Player better, actually. So that's where that is, but people love Sagrada. Totally get it. Dinosaur Island is a good game, made great by the theme. I don't know that it would be up here for me, even though I love it, and I was excited to get it. I'm going very fast now, sorry. Age of Steam. Age of Steam is the better version of Steam. It's really, really brutal. There's a really tough auction. That's what makes the game really good. Ticket to Ride Nordic Countries is awesome, definitely because it has Sweden. And I really like that version. It's three-player only. I like all the Ticket to Ride versions. Goa is a really weird, like, auction game, and I like it. But it is bland. Lorenzo Il Magnifico is very, very good, and I really, really like it, and I want to play it with the expansion again. Village, I don't like. That is the next game. It's a worker placement game. People really like it. I don't. Hansa Teutonica is awesome. It's really good, and it's not really long, and it's dry and exciting. You build an engine, and your engines just get better, and you can do better and better and better and better actions, and it's really, really mean, and you block each other all the time, and that's fun. Near and Far is the better version of Above and Below, and here it is higher up. Ah, that's interesting. I think Above and Below is sold better, but I guess Near and Far is better. And it's really fun. You don't even have to play the campaign. You can play a one-off, and you'll have a blast, because I think campaigns are starting to get old. Memoir 44 is a great war game. I would play that again. Let's go. Jaipur, two-player game. Definitely not up there with my two-player games, but Jaipur is interesting. People really like it, Paths of Glory, I have never played. I think I want to play it. It used to be in the top 100. It slid out, so who knows. Cosmic Encounter, I played a couple times. Yeah, it's fun. You got to have the right group. Codenames Duet, really, really good. I imagine Codenames is way up the list. Combat Commander Europe, I played that. Christian and I played it. We reviewed it. And it's a really interesting game that I need to play regularly, otherwise I forget how to play. And it's got a lot of rules, but it's a really cool idea. Aeon's End, I really want to play Aeon's End Legacy. Aeon's End is a cooperative deck builder game. Yeah, it's really fun with 1 and 2, and it doesn't work well with 3 and 4. Lord of the Rings, the card game, 108, is amazing, amazing, amazing. I dug out all my stuff. I really want to play it again. It's my favorite CCG. Inish, I don't like. People love this game. This game still gets played. I can't handle it. The end game and the area control is just like Rising Sun to me. Captain Sonar, I got a copy and then like never proceeded to play it with eight people. But it's really fun. And I feel like you just have to prepare to set it up. And it's a tough teach to get everybody playing since it's all real time. Nations, just play through the ages. It's better. Commands and Color Ancients, I haven't played, but I played all the other Commands and Color, or like that system. But I haven't played this, but we have a copy, so you'll be hearing about that. Suburbia is on Kickstarter right now with a new edition. I really like Suburbia. The last time I played, I smoked everybody. They didn't like it. I loved it. That's how it goes. I don't typically smoke people in games. I did in that one. It's a big math game. I like math. Railways of the World, I don't think is the better of all those games. I think Age of Steam better. Railways of the World is the most accessible, and it's still really fun. So... and it's got probably the best components. It does have the best components of them all. And 101 is Arcadia Quest, and I keep trying to get Kathy to play this. Nope. Kathy played it with me. We did a whole campaign. It was really, really fun. I love this game. Pa-ding, pa-ding, pa-ding. Just killing stuff and getting coins, and it's great. And I try to get Zephyr to play this with me, and every time I set it up, she doesn't want to. But we're going to play it soon. Whew! That is 100 games on the BGG Top 100 list. So that is that. I hope that was helpful to you. Sometimes it's just motor mouth. I have to go pick up my daughter, so I'm going to say sayonara, see you later, have a great time. Thanks for listening. This has been episode 116. You can't stop change any more than you can stop the suns from setting. That's it, everybody. Have a great time. I am the Brant, and until next time, I hope you step into the portal.